نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم يغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله قد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر أمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah, we seek His forgiveness and seek His assistance. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil in ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, no one can misguide him. And whomever Allah Azza wa Jalla allows to be misguided, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that there is no God, no deity, no object of worship, worthy of worship other than Allah. He stands alone with no partners. And I bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, servant, and messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and die not except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord, who has created you from a single soul, and created from him its mate, and scattered from them to many men and women. And fear Allah, for whom you demand to reach your rights, and don't cut off relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a Raqib, a watcher over you. O you who believe, say that which is correct, and always speak the truth, so that Allah may accept from your good deeds, and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma Baidu, search of the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this religion. For every newly invented matter in this religion is a bid'ah. Every bid'ah is a strain, and every strain is in the hellfire. Alhamdulillah, continuing on with the hadith of the angel Jibril, alayhi salatu wassalam, which explains the foundations of Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. The hadith goes as follows, on the authority of Umar, who said, one day while we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there came before us a man with extremely white clothing and extremely black hair. There were no signs of travel in him, and none of us knew him. He came and sat next to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He supported his knees up against the knees of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and put his hands on his thighs. He said, O Muhammad, tell me about Islam. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, Islam is to testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. To establish the prayers, to pay the zakat, to fast the month of Ramadan, and to make the pilgrimage to the house if you have the means to do so. He said, we have spoken truthfully. We were amazed that he asked the question, and then he says that he had spoken truthfully. He said, tell me about Iman, faith. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, responded, it is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and to believe in the divine decree, both the good and the evil thereof. He said, you have spoken truthfully. He said, tell me about Ihsan, goodness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered, it is that you worship Allah as if you see Him, and even though you do not see Him, you know He sees you. And that is where we will continue on today, inshallah, the concept of Ihsan. The al in al-Ihsan implies that the matter referred to is something known and recognized by the speakers. The known Ihsan, extend in its linguistic relatives are mentioned in a number of places in the Quran. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayat 93, which means, on those who believe and do righteous good deeds, there is no sin for what they ate in the past. If they fear Allah and believe and do righteous deeds, and again fear Allah and believe, and once again fear Allah and do good deeds with ihsan, perfection. And Allah loves the good doers, muqsineen. The Al might imply that it is that concept that is being referred to. The angel Jibril, alayhi salatu wasalam, asked about it so that the people would realize how great and important a concept it was. On the other hand, others state that it is not referring to that known concept, but it is referring to ikhlas, purity of action. However, the first interpretation is more apparent. It implies that there are three levels of Islam: the level of Islam, the level of Iman, and the level of Ihsan, as was alluded to in the discussions that we talked about before when we talked about Iman. The lexical meaning of Ihsan implies doing well, doing goodness, behaving with others in a goodly manner. It is the opposite of causing harm to someone else. In such a case, the form of the word will be followed with a preposition. However, the word also implies perfecting something or doing something in the best way. This is perhaps closer to what is meant by the word Ihsan in this particular hadith. However, the two concepts are not inseparable. A person will behave towards others in the best way possible if he is truly doing that to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hence, he excels both in his relation towards Allah, or the rites of worship, as well as his relationship to Allah's creatures due to his knowledge that Allah is watching him. Therefore, Ihsan is very comprehensive. It includes all types of acts of goodness to others. Its meaning is that a person spreads good instead of harm to others. He uses his wealth, knowledge, position, and body to do good to others. He gives part of his wealth in zakat and charity, and that is Ihsan. He spreads his knowledge and never misses an opportunity to guide others, and that is Ihsan with respect to his knowledge. He uses his rightful position and influence to help those that are deserving and in need of help. This is also Ihsan. He helps his brother get into his car or to carry something, and that is an example of Ihsan with respect to his body. And this hadith of Jibril, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not give a dictionary type definition of Ihsan. Instead, he explained the main motivating factor behind Ihsan, or goodness and excellence. This is the fact that Allah is watching one's actions. If the heart is aware of that fact, the person will hope to please his Lord and fear displeasing him. This will bring about purity in his heart. When such ikhlas or purity is present in the heart, he will do what he can for Allah's sake. This also means that he will try to do everything in the best possible way. He will be concerned about the quality of his deeds and not simply their quantity or their outward execution. So then the Messenger of Allah answered, "It is that you worship Allah as if you see him, and even though you do not see him, he sees you." Perhaps the first matter that needs to be discussed is whether these two sentences embody one concept or two distinct concepts. Scholars have interpreted this hadith in both ways. First, we'll talk about the view that the two concepts are being conveyed. Ibn Rajab, Ibn Hajar, and others are of the view that this hadith describes two different levels of awareness at which a believer may be. One of the positions is loftier than the other. If a person cannot achieve the loftier position, he should at least seek the less loftier position. It is as if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Worship Allah as if you are seeing him." But if you cannot achieve that level, worship him knowing that he sees you. The believers and the muqsineen differ quite a bit in the levels that they reach, depending on their levels of Iman and Ihsan. The loftier position is known as Mushahada, the personal witnessing. This is not the real seeing of Allah, but a very strong feeling in the heart. This is where the realization of Allah's presence by his knowledge and mercy is so great that the person practically witnesses Allah in front of him. The person's thought and mind becomes completely attuned to the act of worship he is performing. This is the implication of the first sentence. It is that you worship Allah as if you see Him. There is no question that no one could see Allah. This would have a profound effect on his worship and obedience of Allah. This can be seen in the following hadith. Allah has some angels who look for those who celebrate the praises of Allah on the roads and paths. And when they find some people celebrating the praises of Allah, they call each other saying, "Come to the object of your pursuit." The angels then encircle them with their wings up to the sky of the world. Then their Lord asked them, although He is most knowledgeable of them, "What do my slaves do?" The angels reply, they say, "Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, and Alhamdulillah." Allah then says, "Did they see me?" The angels reply, "No, by Allah, they didn't see you." Allah says, "How would it have been if they saw me?" The angels reply, "If they saw you, they would worship you more devoutly and celebrate your glory more deeply and more often declare your freedom from any resemblance to anything." So the effect of the feeling of the seeing of Allah on the person is that he will perform every act of obedience in the best possible way. He practically sees Allah in front of him, so he knows full well, beyond a mere theoretical belief, that Allah is observing everything that he is doing. He will be extremely shy and embarrassed to do anything in a less than perfect or excellent manner. He will also be filled with the fear, awe, and admiration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will make every effort to please Allah, who he sees in front of him. He will exert himself to perform this act of worship in the best way possible, without any deficiency. So the person who reaches the higher level of ihsan has reached the level wherein his heart practically witnesses his Lord, when he becomes full of pleasure when being alone with his Lord, and when he remembers Allah. He speaks to Allah and he beseeches Allah. These acts become the most beautiful and enjoyable acts in his eyes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was undoubtedly at this level of worship of Allah. He one time said, excuse me, "The sweetness of my eye has been made the prayer." Hold on for one second. Bismillah. If a person is not able to reach that level, or if it is difficult for him, then he moves to the lower level where he worships Allah, realizing full well that Allah is watching him and knows both what goes on externally and inside of the person's heart and soul. This level has been termed Amurakaba, the level of one who is being observed and watched. This level of ihsan is still quite important and beneficial. The person knows that Allah is seeing him and observing every action that he performs. This can drive a Muslim to perfect and excel in his acts of worship. Hence, this level will also lead to ihsan, or excellence in worship. But this feeling cannot be considered as strong as in the first case. The feeling of being watched may not always be that strong in a person's heart. Even though he may theoretically know that he is being watched, he may still be lax at times. He does not experience the same feelings of awe and humility than the feeling of he who is practically seeing Allah in front of him. Thus, the presence of either level of ihsan makes the person worship Allah in an excellent manner, which is what ihsan would imply linguistically. Those who reach the level of ihsan are far ahead of those Muslims who may know and believe, but unfortunately only that at a theoretical or academic level, that Allah knows and witnesses all things. All Muslims must know and believe this, but as long as that knowledge has no real effect on their worship of Allah, they are not deserving of the title of muqsin, or a person who has the quality of ihsan. Yes, they legally fulfill their obligations of worship, but those acts are lacking in spirit and quality, and therefore they do not rise to the level of ihsan and excellent worship of Allah. Ibn Uthaymeen notes other aspects that differentiate between these two levels of ihsan. According to him, al-ihsan with respect to worship of Allah is where the person worships Allah as if he sees him, as is stated in this hadith. This type of worship is the worship of craving, yearning, and delight. This makes the person on his very own very keen on performing the acts of worship. This is because he sincerely loves that act, and he will seek that act of worship because he loves it so much. He will anxiously desire to get closer to Allah and will turn to Him as if he is seeing Allah. The lower level of al-ihsan is one of the fleeing and fear. If he does not worship Allah as if he is seeing Him, he must at least realize that Allah is seeing him. That is, he is being watched. His deeds are being accounted for. Hence, the person should fear the watcher's punishment and displeasure. This level or drive behind worship is considered lower than the first. However, all worship is extreme, is actually built upon these two aspects, extreme love and extreme submission. When love is present, the person seeks the object. When submission is present, here is fear and flight. Ibn Uthaymeen does not make this point, but it must be noted that those of the lower level of ihsan also have this feeling. They do not see Allah yet. At the same time, they know that Allah is seeing them. Hence, they combine both of these aspects of love and submission, and that is one of the reasons why their worship of Allah is so excellent. If this understanding of the hadith is accepted, then as was mentioned by Al-Ubay and Al-Shankiti, that there are three levels for the Muslim with respect to ihsan. The lowest level is where the Muslim fulfills all of the minimum requirements of an act. Hence, he has performed the act and has fulfilled that legal requirement. This person must theoretically recognize that Allah has witnessed his act. However, that knowledge may not have much or any real effect on his act of worship. The highest level is where one is at a position where he practically sees Allah in front of him. This was the state of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The middle level is the one who has not reached the level of feeling that he sees Allah, but he has reached the level that he very much feels that Allah is observing and watching every act he performs. Hence, he also excels in his acts beyond those of the first level mentioned above, but not to the level of the loftiest position. Al-Ubay then states, all three of these positions are ihsan. However, the ihsan that is conditioned for the soundness of an act of worship is the first level. The ihsan of the last two levels are characteristic of the more devout, special people. Many are not capable of reaching those levels. An alternative view of this hadith is given by An-Nawawi and Uthmani. According to this view, the two sentences are just conveying one concept. In other words, it is if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, although you do not actually see Allah, you should still excel in your worship because He is seeing you. Ibn Rajab points out that it is as if the second statement is a casual statement for the first. Uthmani has presented the logic behind the reasoning of this view. The first sentence that you worship Allah as if you see Him deals with the real objective. That there was a possibility of a doubt rising, which he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has answered in the second sentence, that Allah sees you, although you cannot see him. This can be understood by an analogy. Suppose there are some people present before the king in his palace. Now how far these will observe the requisite respect and dignity of the court is known to everyone. There are two things here. The one is that the king is looking at them, and also that they see the king. What is the reason behind this perfect observance of respect and obedience? Which reason has motivated the attitude of subservience? Is it the seeing of the king, or they're seeing the king? By a little deliberation, it will be clear that it is the king seeing them, which really matters. For instance, if there was a blind man amongst them who cannot see the king, would his observance of respect and subservience for the king be in any case less than that of the others? This argument has some merit to it. However, it seems that the interpretation given by Ibn Hajar and others to be more preferred. The analogy or question that Uthmani presented may not be quite complete. In the first case, the person both feels that Allah is watching him and that he also see Allah in front of him. Hence, there is a stronger and clear motivating factor. When a person is being watched but does not feel the presence of the one watching him, he may become forgetful or neglectful of the fact that he's being watched, and Allah knows best. So the hadith makes it clear that the one who has ihsan either worships Allah as if he is seeing him, or at the very least, he is fully conscious of the fact that Allah is seeing him. The Muslim will receive a special reward for this attitude of worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Quran in Surah Yunus, which means, for those who have done good is the best and even more. In Sahih Muslim, it is stated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the meaning of even more as the bounty of seeing Allah in the hereafter. Hence, the one who worships Allah as if he is seeing him, or who knows that Allah is seeing him while he is worshiping, will be rewarded by the great reward of seeing Allah in the hereafter. This is the opposite of the recompense of the disbelievers in the hereafter. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Ayat 15, "May surely they, the evildoers, will be veiled from seeing their Lord that day." These people refuse to submit to Allah. Instead of worshipping Allah as if they see Him, they behave as if Allah had no idea of what they were doing. Hence, their recompense is that they will be veiled from seeing Allah in the hereafter, in the same way that they will be kept themselves from worshipping Him in this life. Both Ibn Rajab and Ibn Hajar are adamant that this hadith does not imply the possibility of seeing Allah while one is alive in this world. They say that this is how some unfortunate Sufis have incorrectly interpreted this hadith. Ibn Hajar demonstrates that these people are both ignorant of the Arabic language as well as other narrations of this hadith. Ibn Rajab also discusses the seeing of Allah with one's heart while one is alive in this world. He stated, "As for whoever claims that their hearts can reach a level in this life where they can physically see Allah in the same way that they will see them by their sights in the hereafter, as some of the Sufis claim, it should be known that this is a false claim. That special level is a level that some of the companions, such as Abu Dharr, Ibn Abbas, and others, including one narration from Aisha stated, occurred for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only twice. He states that such was something special for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that distinguished him from others. However, the Sufis claim that some of them reach the level often or are always in such a state. Hence, they consider their saints to be superior to the Prophets. Ibn Rajab then stated, "Branching off from this belief are many of the aspects of misguidance and ignorance, and Allah guides whomsoever He wills to the straight path." And with that, we're going to end for the evening, and inshallah, next Monday, we'll continue on with the signs of the Day of Judgment, inshallah. If anyone has any questions, they can ask them now. SubhanAllah wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And